What if every experience, every hardship, every obstacle was given to you, not to break you, but to mold you and strengthen you? What if the center of your suffering was actually the key to ultimate health? And what if your own pain was meant to be the catalyst for your greatest purpose? Welcome to Buddha Belly Life, empowering purpose, mind to microbiome.
Welcome to the Buddha Belly Life podcast. I'm Coach Britt, and today I'm covering a topic that I think a lot of people are interested in, on the topic of dysregulation. Okay, dysregulation is obviously the opposite of regulation, right? So when we're dysregulated, that means our nervous system is not regulated, and this comes out in a lot of ways. So firstly, I want to tell you guys just kind of what is dysregulation. If you haven't, hopefully you've heard that word maybe more and more now. But if you haven't, okay, this is a good time of year to talk about this too. If you can't see, if you're joining me by video session this month, then you see my Christmas tree in the background. And what better time to talk about being dysregulated than holidays? This can be a great time for some people. It can be a negative time for some people. And guess what? Regardless, Both emotions can induce dysregulation. So I think it's good we're going to cover this right now. So what is dysregulation? Okay, dysregulation is basically being discombobulated, all right? Not being, right, being overdone. The process really of how stress is affecting our body, our brain, our actions, and our minds, and showing itself in our behaviors and in our physiology and all that stuff. Okay. Why we're really talking about this? Okay. So, why we're talking about this, you guys, is because it is my core belief lately. Okay. Maybe not my core belief of life, but it's way up there, that if we could actually train people, educate people, and empower people, individuals, ourselves, our kids, everyone, right, to understand dysregulation, to read their own nervous system and their body, that we could succeed so much more. We could have monumental shifts in our health, both relationally, our mental health, our physical and physiological health, that we could just see massive strides. Because if whether you like it or not, you guys, your nervous system is a communicator, not a torturer. It may feel like a torturer, okay? What dysregulation can look like, and it can look so different. And I just want to kind of preface some of this. I probably should have prefaced this originally, but I am not a therapist. Don't go taking these words as therapy. I'm not a therapist. Please see a professional. If you are struggling with mental health, make sure you've got a great counselor in your corner and things like that. But I am a brain gut specialist, health, life, and NLP coach. Okay. And I train lots of people. And on top of that, and I think maybe this is my greatest credential for trust, I am a mother of 6 blended children under the age of 13 and the wife of a husband with ADHD and the sufferer of an entire life of anxiety and mental health. So hopefully that gives me just a little bit of credibility of why I would be talking about dysregulation and some experience maybe that I bring to the table. Okay. So what it looks like, you guys, dysregulation, I think to really understand before we talk about what it looks like is what it is. Like I said, it's when we're just not functioning optimally. Okay. And this can show itself in a multitude of ways, but it is literally when our stress response is taking over. Okay. And it's not to be in a state of stress for a moment, like a fight or flight, like, okay, there's a threat and we deal with it. When we're dysregulated, it means we've been in so many circumstances of stress or such a constant state of unregulated stress that it is now kind of taking a permanence in our body and in our mind and in our function. And this is dysregulation. And this will show itself in a lot of ways. Okay. This can look like, okay, so let's say from a mental standpoint, this can look like brain fog, anxiety for sure, which is so predominant right now. Okay, it can look like depression, panic attacks, absolute overwhelm, lack of motivation, which are things that we say with anxiety and depression too, right? It can look like intrusive thoughts and worry and inability to control kind of what we're thinking, it feels like, or being stuck in places that are really, really overwhelming or really negative. It can also make life feel like everything is just so weighty, right? Like, has anybody ever been there? Especially, you know, parents, like, where you, hey, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? And you're like, oh my gosh. I think two of the hardest decisions, we meal plan a lot, so what we're going to have for dinner isn't as hard because it's thought of on Sunday most of the time. But if we were to go out to eat, but I can tell you a couple of my hardest decisions of the day is in the evening. The only time I will ever sit down and watch TV is when my kids go to bed. I put my blue light shades on, okay, because it's the only time I watch TV, literally, and it's usually a documentary. But okay, is what we're going to watch at bedtime. Like, my husband and I will go back and forth, like, okay, what do you want to watch? And we can get annoyed with each other because the other person's not picking. So if we haven't had something already laid out, then we're like, dude, where are you at? Like, why you got to make me do everything, right? And I think it's because it's the first breath often, especially in the weeks we have all six of our kids, it's the first breath that we're taking for the day. So we're just like, okay, we're going to relax. And then you're asking my brain to have to make another decision or do something else. This is what dysregulation looks like. It affects the brain. This is what it looks like in the body. Okay. It can affect people differently. Some people will go through a variety of this stuff. Some will go through, they'll lean more to one direction than the other. Some people get very sped up. Some people, when they get dysregulated, okay, they stay really high, octane, if that makes any sense. And they might need to go like run a few miles in order to calm down, in order to start bringing down the nervous system. For other people, they've been dealing with so much that they just feel exhausted. Maybe they're just shutting down. Maybe they're not talking as much. Their brain isn't functioning. They're kind of just, you know, and you can go through phases of this. Okay. But that's usually the body showing dysregulation, whether or not we acknowledge it or not. Okay. When you're dysregulated, even in our kids, okay. And you'll see this. We'll have little things. We'll have maybe fidgets. Somebody who's running really high, and they just can't sit still. They may distract a lot. They may stay really busy. They may bite their fingernails. They may tap their fingers. They may, you know, move their leg. They may, oh, we see this one in our house a lot. They may pick on their sibling. You guys don't, like, because they're really sped up. And that brain that's really sped up doesn't know what to do if it's trying to sit down. And so it needs to go, hey, give me something to do, right? But it can look like the opposite too. So you can see the really high, and you can see the low, and you can start seeing dysregulation in things like, we'll start to see it affect our health, our physical health too. We can see it in joint pain, in fatigue. We can see it in all kinds of stuff, because what happens too is when we run really high stress, we can very much mess with our gut microbiome. And when we do that, it starts throwing all kinds of things off. So women especially, but men too, we'll see it very hormonally too. So we can see signs of dysregulation by, let's say normally your cycles are pretty regular and they don't give you too much grief, but all of a sudden this month, it's really out of whack. It's kind of off schedule. Your PMS was really through the roof. Okay, this is how stress and dysregulation, which is a chronic, you know, mounting area of stress. This is how this can affect some of these things. And why is this so important, you guys, is because we're not understanding it. We're not talking about it. And it's cool because, like, in our family, we have so much neurodiversity, so much. Everything from trauma to ADHD to spectrum to everything, just in our immediate family. And so we've had to learn. If you have anybody in your life that runs somewhere, you know, we're all on the spectrum to some degree, right? We all aren't technically, you know, neurotypical. I mean, really, what is typical? But if you do have a child or someone that isn't neurotypical, you're probably more aware because they probably get dysregulated more frequently and to more extremes. Okay. If you have a child or something that's had ADHD or is on the spectrum, you'll see them, you know, explosive emotions, you see impulsivity, you know, we see all this stuff. And it's not just that, oh, they, you know, their brain is made up like this. It's also, we see these traits exacerbated when their nervous system's overdone, when they're overly dysregulated. So this may be sitting all day at school and they just, they're seven, you know, they want to move and this isn't doing so well. And they're your moving kid. You know, I have a few like that. So why it's important though for all of us. So just because certain people may take the limelight with us and it calls more, this is where you can see, you know, we know dysregulation can be present, especially like kids that fall on a more severe part of the spectrum. You know, whenever you see somebody, I like to point this out too. Like if you see somebody out in public or you see a kid that's just freaking out or throwing a fit or acting really inappropriate for public or so you feel, always give the benefit of the doubt that maybe they're not neurotypical. Okay. And this can be how they are showing dysregulation. You know, maybe they're really overwhelmed. Their stress response is super high because this is a really crowded place and the lights are really bright and things like that. And because of how their brain is made up, they're going to be more responsive to that. But what's so cool about this, you guys, is by having to pay attention to some of these kids and these people that we exist with, we realize that we all should very much be paying attention to this in ourselves because we aren't different. I mean, we're different, but we still have to pay attention to our own dysregulation. Like, let me tell you, dysregulation is, I'm really high strung right now, and now I'm snapping at my kids for everything that they ask for, right? Okay. It's, I don't have patience for my husband. Maybe I'm angry and I feel like I just need to lash, you know, get it out of me. And that's not really appropriate, or maybe it's not effective. Like, it's not going to do me any good right now. Maybe it's, we then seek coping, and this is where it can get really unhealthy too. We'll seek, a lot of people will try and regulate on their own and they don't even realize that they're doing it. This is where we seek things like food when we don't need it, or junk food like sugar or stimulants, right? Tons of coffee. We're usually combating a level of dysregulation, whether it be the burnout after it or whether it be the high, we're trying to feed and seek this dopamine, right? It can be compulsive shopping. It can be different addictions, especially things like alcohol or drugs or things like that. These can be ways, a lot of this stuff is exactly just an example of people self-medicating dysregulation. And so then when we're trying to do things like get healthy, that's super hard if we haven't identified this place in our bodies. So like when I train the coaches, you guys, the Gut Health School coaches, and when they're working with the Buddha Belly program, we're training them to firstly, help people listen to their nervous system, because if they can't do that, then unfortunately, a lot of these gut efforts can be for naught. They'll be very hard. Some of the steps that we want to take can be extra hard for them to actually execute. They can work against the healing process because their stress response is still so high. You know, I want to kind of look at my notes here to make sure you know, this is really important, and why this is so important, you guys, is because it's literally, we're talking about our quality of life here. We're really talking about mindfulness and self-awareness. And I don't know that I even learned for a long time that mindfulness wasn't just like this, you know, this meditative kind of thing in, you know, yoga and stuff like that. Like, yes, but mindfulness is I really need to be in and aware of my body and my experiences and what's happening, so that I can listen to it. Because dysregulation isn't necessarily, it's not a good thing, chronic dysregulation, but it's not a broken mechanism. It's actually a very functional mechanism. It is our body communicating to us that it has had an overload of some type of stress. Okay, and it can't keep going doing that. And when we don't listen to it and handle it the right way, then it will manifest as sickness and disease. Okay, so what kind of things cause dysregulation? Honestly, you guys, feelings, food, chemicals, and our environment. Sorry to read some of my notes there. But they're all stress, okay? The stress comes in different forms. We have emotional stress, right? And we'll see that the most. Like, you know, when something triggers you, it'll instantly get you very dysregulated. We use the word triggered. Like, it's good to use those words because it's good to see. I think we've done a real big disservice actually with the whole trigger thing, because we're always telling people, oh, trigger warning, let me protect you from seeing something that may upset you or hearing something that may. I understand there's some extreme content or things out there that, like, you know, the picture's a really gory thing. I mean, absolutely, that, you know, that should be warned. But if it's like, hey, I'm going to share something about my life, but trigger warning, I'm going to talk, you know, about this, like, you know, what we're teaching when people, I think, and maybe people disagree, this is just a side tangent, but what we're teaching when we do that with triggering is we're teaching people to avoid, expect the external world to regulate us instead of learning to regulate ourselves. And this is one of the number one reasons that we see a lot of suffering, a lot of dysfunctional relationships, a lot of self destructive behavior. is because people don't know how to regulate themselves. And this is why then they turn to things like substances or distractions or other people to try and regulate them, right? And this is really disempowering. It really doesn't get put us in a healthy state. So when we're saying, oh, you know, trigger warning, let's protect you from having to regulate your own emotions or be introspective about them. It's the triggers and the things in life that set us off, that give us warnings and introspection about who we are and how we function.
Do you have a desire for fulfillment? Does helping people tap into their own health mentally, emotionally, and physically fire you up? Do you believe in the impact of the gut microbiome on overall wellness? You may be an HWCA coach. For more info on our cutting-edge health coach trainings, visit hwcacoach.com.
You'll see this sometimes when you run into somebody and you, have you ever run into somebody and you have a really icky feeling and you don't remember? You don't really know why. You don't even know where you know them from. And then it'll come to you later and there will be some kind of memory. And maybe they've, you know, not been a great person when you met them or whatever. Or maybe they made you like insecure or something. Maybe you're in a bad relationship and they were at a similar gathering you were at and you felt really insecure. You know, your partner wasn't very trustworthy and they made you feel really insecure. So your body will, your nervous system will remember that feeling and that association, whether or not it's fair, right? And what's cool about that is that if we can hear that, then we can follow those strings into ourselves and be like, hey, whoa, what's up? You know, what is that about? It doesn't make sense to me. And then we can think on it and we can be like, oh, wow, look at this. Or like, look at this area of insecurity I've had. Look at this area I'm still holding a grudge. Look at this thing. You know, this is something, it's all, your body is always, the nervous system when it reacts like this is conveying to you a message and letting you know where it needs to heal, where it's got roots that are causing, that are poisonous and that are causing problems in our life and in our the way that we operate and all that, okay? It's a blessing. And unfortunately, because we're not well-versed in what it is, what to look for, in really talking about this and in getting into ourselves, then we medicate it, we ignore it, we can distract from it, and we wait for things to get catastrophic to where they show up on a blood test or they put us in an emergency situation and we didn't even realize it was happening. We didn't realize that we were running from a lot of past trauma we've not dealt with. We didn't realize that we weren't taking care of our bodies. We didn't realize that, you know, we weren't speaking up, that we didn't feel comfortable having a voice since we were repressing, you know. And then, so when we get triggered, when we feel these things, then we'll see it. But like I said, it's a form of stress. So stress in general comes in multiple forms. So obviously emotional stress, we have chemical, physical stress, and then environmental stress, you know, and toxins. So stress can be, you could have, like, here's a good example. Like maybe you've been exposed to mold, okay? And your body will start getting very dysregulated because it's getting sick from mold. So this chemical exposure is now affecting your neurological health. You're going to see it in brain fog. You're going to see it in all kinds of stuff. You're going to see it in your gut health, etc. Maybe it's your emotions. Maybe you're not good at processing your feelings and emotions. Maybe you feel very powerless. Maybe you're a very angry person and you're just out of control a lot. Okay. And so stuff just triggers you. These are all responses of the nervous system. And it's in, or maybe it's, you know, environmental, you know, things that, like I said, you know, chemicals in your food and water. Maybe you're eating, maybe you've got food sensitivities and you're eating junk and your body is low on nutrients. Okay. And this is causing issue in the body, which is then slowing all functions. It's going to affect your hormones because it's going to affect your gut. So then it's going to go for your hormones. It's going to go for your nutrient absorption. It's going to go for your brain function. And so you start functioning on a lower level because your body is not very healthy because your food isn't actually feeding your mitochondria. It's just giving you calories and disease. Okay. And so we're going to see that's a type of stress. Sedentary lifestyles is a type of stress. You will get dysregulated if you sit too much. You will also get dysregulated if you move too much. So if you're pushing your body, you guys, I had to learn this, and any women who are approaching 40, all right, I'm not there yet. I'm going to be 39 in March. But when you're getting to that later stages in life and you start seeing like these hormonal shifts, you have to start realizing that your nervous system communicates a lot about your adrenals and your hormones and things like that. And I've had to learn that. I had to learn that all my HIIT workouts and all the things that were on my schedule that were non-negotiable expectations I set for myself were not always serving my body. And I love to work out. I've, you know, 2 decades now, I've never not had a consistent workout routine. But I had to listen to my body and change the things I was doing because my nervous system was communicating to me that the way I was doing it was too much. It was actually harming me. It was holding it down. So too much stress. You'll see really highly active athletes that do pretty extreme, things like marathon runners and stuff like that. You can see them start to tank eventually too, especially, you know, it just depends on the person, but that's a lot of stress on the body. So more is not always better. And the only way out of this, you guys, is to really listen to your body. That's how we can pursue the goals. That's how we can rest adequately, but not succumb to being sedentary. That's how come we can push the envelope and work to a new goal without burning out our adrenals and ruining our gut and wrecking our body. Okay, that's how we can get angry, but do it in a healthy way without repressing and letting it wreck our bodies and without enraging and letting it wreck our environment. Okay, this is how we process. We learn dysregulation because then we can figure out tools to handling dysregulation. We can look at it and we can go, okay, I am feeling angry. I am pissed. Okay, I have moments, you guys, I always joke that I'm either very well handled and pretty rational and I have pretty good communication, you know. I'm really pretty good at that until I'm not, right? And I will then really have to practice, you know, regulation and I have tools, you know. If I feel like I'm going to start to get dysregulated, it's really going to push me, you know, then I've got to remove myself most of the time and just get a clear head. I have literally got to the point now where I know a space. It's a mental and physical space. There's a feeling I have in my body and in my head and everything's fuzzy where all of a sudden I'm in a space where I'm not going to operate in my logical mind. I'm going to be purely in fight or flight. That means my words are going to be in fight or flight. My actions, everything are going to be in just fight or flight. So that doesn't make me a bad person. That actually makes me incredibly human. So the trick is to figure out this humanness and do better. So I have my tools. Like, so separating right then and there, stepping away from something right there to process it is non-negotiable for me. I have to. I've learned that. And then I'm actually more capable of then going through it through my head, calming myself down, going through it through my head and deciding how I really want to handle something. And if it really was worth it or if it was something that exists in me, you know, what was this trigger? What was this response? Blah, 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 right? Or we do it with fear and stuff too. Our body remembers stuff, right? So it gets a fear a lot and it'll respond like this, okay? So we are walking, most people, you guys, are walking on in constant dysregulation because they're exposed to chronic stress. And chronic stress doesn't always have to be negative. Like I said, it's not just bad food, bad chemicals, bad feelings. It can also be great feelings. Great experiences, that cell phone that you just love oh so much, and I do too at times, right? All those blue lights and all that stimulation, all of these notifications, okay? All this stuff is chronic stimulation, and the body was not meant to be chronically stimulated, and we're living in a chronically stimulated world. So we've got a big problem right now because we're trying to reset in an environment that's really just conditioned to make us dysregulated. So this is why you learn to read it in yourself so that you can make different decisions along the way. So yeah, those blue lights, being on the phone, like you guys, you know that when you sit on your phone, like not only is it bad for your neck, which does all kind of stuff to your nervous system, right? When your head's down and things like that, just ask my chiropractors. But also it keeps the brain, I read something the other day that says when your eyes are locked in one position, it communicates threat and stress to the brain. Whoa. Okay. I have not, you guys might want to look into that a little more, but I have not heard that, but it makes all the sense because when in nature would we do that? When we're intimidated or afraid, when there's a threat, either you're angry at something, so you're looking them dead in the eye, right? Or something, or something's coming to you. You know, you're watching for a threat. How often do we just lock our eyes in one position naturally, right? In this natural world? We don't. We're doing things. We're going from person to person. Maybe we're having conversation with somebody, you know, but it's still probably more free flowing. We're getting things done, right? We're looking around, we're moving our head, we're standing upright, we're looking straight ahead. Okay, so when we're looking down and then we're locking our eyes and then we're getting the extra stimulation of these blue lights, because this is why technology is so important. If there's one place to start when it comes to getting our bodies and our brains out of dysregulation, it would be to start being mindful about your technology and that of your kids. I'm not perfect at this, okay? But I know it to be true and I know how important it is because this is sending massive stress responses to my body. The next is being careful with stimulants. Okay. Like caffeine, sugar, alcohol, you guys, these are all things that mess with the nervous system. Okay. Now you'll have to figure out what works for you. Some of us, I'm very sensitive to caffeine. I can't have very much of it at all. I get easily dysregulated with caffeine, and then you have the environmental factors and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, so, and I have to have food first. Like I can't do it on an empty stomach. I mean, there's some things. So you got to figure out what works for you. Alcohol, same. I don't really drink much. It can dysregulate my system pretty bad, and because it'll affect my gut. And it's a natural, you know, originally it's a depressant, right? So a lot of people that run really high, even people that run low, but especially people that run really high, high anxiety, high achievers, you know, just going, they will tend to, often you'll see them reach for alcohol because it slows them down, because they don't really know how to slow down other than that. You know, a lot of us are just unaware of how we operate, and we're unaware of the damage that's being done. And why this is important too is because then what it does is it takes the shame and the fear out of human behavior. It puts the power back in our hands, because if we just feel like, okay, our temper just flies off the handle, our anxiety is through the roof, or our mental health or function or how we talk to people or respond, that it's out of control, then we feel out of control. And that comes with a lot of shame, because nobody wants to be like that. And you think it's just you. Okay, like, no, everyone gets dysregulated. And whether or not they're very vocal or loud or really quiet or passive aggressive or anything, like, we all experience this. And so to start with dysregulation and to recognize dysregulation in ourselves is the beginning to starting to transform how we live, how we communicate in the healthiest way. Even if you're somebody that is more high energy than somebody else, or is more talkative than someone else, or does raise their voice or get a little more angry than someone who gets more quiet and shut down. But we all, no matter how you function, you'd be watching your body, you'd be listening to that nervous system, and you can identify dysregulation and where you need to tweak on your own personal spectrum for how you function. And you will see an improvement in everything. You will see improvement in not just your physical health, but in your mental health, but in your interactions with people and relationships. This is important. This is where I've identified things like codependency and everything, because you start seeing, like, why do I feel so intense right now in this situation? Why do I feel so intense? If it's not mine, why do I feel it so big? You know, and how much of my life do I want to spend living that way? Living big emotions that other people hold the cards to, right? That's a powerless life if we stay in that space. But to identify that we're in a crappy space like that, not just mask it, not ignore it, not stuff it down, not medicate it or get busy, but to actually feel it and say, I don't like that feeling. What is that? And how can I take control over that? You know, not just suppressing it, but how can I actually start to maybe get healthier mentally, be more mindful, separate myself, learn things like boundaries and personal power and healthy communication. And then when we do that too, we can recognize other people. Okay, that person's really dysregulated. Now's not the time to continue this conversation with them. Now's not a good time to approach X, Y, Z. My kid's really dysregulated, right? Kids, it's great because kids are so blunt with dysregulation because their brains aren't fully formed yet, right? So they're still extra emotional. But a lot of us grow into adulthood and we still don't necessarily completely mature in these ways, because then some of these mechanisms become just how we function, and it's worked for us, or so we believe it has, right? We believe it's worked for us. And we don't realize that it's actually causing a lot of grief. Okay, these were just mechanisms that we used early. They were tools. We use the best tools we have. And we had, you know, premature primal tools, and that later on in life, they just don't serve us very well. Okay. And so there's nothing wrong with it. That's the best part about personal development, you guys. That's why, like, I live and breathe it. Not because I'm so amazing. It's literally because I'm just like, it's absolute freedom. Real personal development is absolute freedom. If we are not afraid, if we can accept, if we can take the shame out of our imperfections, okay, not just excuse it and be like, well, you know, we're all imperfect. Yeah, we are. Okay. But we're all responsible for our imperfections. We're all responsible, very much so, for how we act and what we do. Okay, so if we can take all that shame out of it, though, and we can look at it like we're out to help, it can be a good kind of selfish. I'm out to be a healthier person so that I feel healthier and act healthier and have a better life. It's going to make me happier. Okay. Cause like, if I'm really negative and stuff like that, there's no way that people like that are happy. Okay. It's just like the pattern that they know. They're probably stuck there, and we don't need to be that forever. It doesn't matter what other people think of you or know of you. It matters who you really are and how you really function. And so all of us have the opportunity to always be growing. And I love this area of work. I love personal development. And since I've gotten into more stuff, like I said, brain gut and stuff, and then obviously the things in my family, like I said, we have so much neurodiversity in this family, but then also, you know, getting into NLP and studying brain and behavior more was fascinating to me. When we found out a year ago that my husband had ADHD and our, you know, the 4 years almost prior to that started making sense, we had a rough it for a long time with stuff that we were just going back and forth at, not understanding the brain part of any of it, right? Brain and behavior. So we're a lot, and same with my son and some of our kids, right? So when we can try and understand, the cool thing about understanding brain and behavior is we stop reacting to the behavior as much and start trying to understand the function. It doesn't mean make excuses for it. It doesn't mean everything's okay. We still require boundaries, you know, but we start understanding how people are functioning instead of taking everything personally about us, instead of being like, okay, you know, this person is XYZ because of their energy right now, or where they're acting, or what they're doing, you know, or my kids, this and this and this, or we're telling our kids, right? Kind of like accidentally gaslighting our kids. Oh, you're just fine. Or gosh, you know, you're being moody, you know, or putting them down. Well, maybe they're completely dysregulated. I see this in one of my sons a lot after school day, especially math or whatever. He's good at math, but it gets him really dysregulated. And he always feels like the class is way too loud when he is doing his math. And luckily he goes to a school that fosters this pretty well, but it's still kind of hard to understand for him, but it's funny because in class, this kid's loud. Like my son he's very intense. He's high octane. He talks a million miles an hour. He's a very good athlete. Doesn't sit still. But yet when he's doing math, the entire class is just way too loud and so distracting because he's dysregulated. Okay. It makes him dysregulated because it probably already started in his head. He probably already had the stress of trying to pay attention to the math because he's not a sit stiller kind of kid. And so that's already creating a stress. So now the other stresses that maybe wouldn't have been as big of a stress become a way bigger stress. And you guys, when we study kids or we study people that are neurotypical, it's awesome because it all still pertains to us. Okay. Like nobody is beyond that. And when I say us, I mean, just mean people in general. Cause me, I've struggled with horrid anxiety, you know, for most of my life. And that's what got me into gut health and brain gut, you know, homeostasis. And I have to listen to my nervous system because it comes and it finds me. Mine gets so severe that it gives me full-blown panic attacks. And you know what's crazy is that those will come at times that are not, I don't see them coming. Like they would come, you know, what they were happening is they were happening after dysregulation. They were happening after usually long periods of stress, of chronic stress. And then as soon as there was a break in the stress, you guys, as soon as there was a level of calm in between the storms, all of a sudden I'd be incapacitated with panic attacks. And it'd be like hard to, I'd get agoraphobic. It would get hard for me to even be in public places. Everything would be so scary. And the best way I can explain this for people who don't understand is that it felt like, you know how when you first start learning to swim, and I don't know if you did this, if you learned in a pool or whatever, but whether you learned in a pool or a beach or like, you know, lake or something, when you first start learning to swim, you want to be really close to something to hang on to. It's like the side of the pool or the dock, right? Because we're just practicing, or maybe a parent or somebody to help you. Like you don't have the confidence yet. It's scary. So you're practicing a little because the reassurance you have in order to push yourself a little further and to tread water a little longer is knowing that if you need to grab something, it's right there. Okay. So that we have that reassurance. And so panic and agoraphobia and things like that, when we start fearing the anxiety itself, and this isn't a huge thing on anxiety, but it's just to really show the power of dysregulation. Panic and agoraphobia, at least for me, you know, I would explain it like feeling like being that new swimmer and sometimes in the middle of an ocean. Okay. I don't care how good of a swimmer you are. If you're stuck in the middle of the ocean, you know, like there's nothing to grab onto. Like, you know, there's only so long you can tread water, and that will get in your head. And to even be like, okay, you know, I'll be fine for 2-3 hours. Okay. So 2-3 hours, I got to hope someone comes around. We don't have that. Like, you can get fatigued in a matter of seconds or minutes because of the stress response to anticipating that maybe it's going to be longer than that and there's nothing to grab onto. That if you needed help, it is not available to you. And this is a common anxiety experience, and this is, you know, real panic experience, I should say. And this, like, for me, when I go through it, it would come after these periods, you know, after a lot of dysregulation. And so while panic and stuff is dysregulation and mental health is a sign of that, it's usually coming after a lot of stuff that just keeps adding up that we think is normal for us, that's part of our day-to-day, that's part of our function, that's part of our environment. And it's not until the brain tries to, you try and calm, then there's this confusion between the nervous system and the brain. Because my brain's now, okay, like, my conscious brain, okay, maybe not my subconscious, but my conscious brain's like, okay, there's nothing to do. There's no threats. There's no lions. I'm totally fine. And my nervous system's like, wah, 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 right? Because it's still just flaring. Okay. So often it'll cause a lot of symptoms, and those symptoms itself will become the precursor for a panic attack or being scared. Okay. The racing heartbeat, the blurry vision, dizzy, you know, stomach nausea, thing like that. You know, and it's so intense physiologically because the nervous system is just, and that's what it does, right? It robs blood from the gut. So it's going to starve the gut of nutrients, which causes stagnation, causes dysbiosis. We've got all kinds of stuff going on there. So this is what chronic stress is. And we talk a lot about chronic stress, but we don't talk about dysregulation. Chronic stress, I think we, you know, we feel like we just need to combat with self-care and, you know, bubble baths and breathing and all that. And that stuff is so important, but we're missing the dysregulation. And before I kind of wrap up here, you guys, I want to just share something. I heard the other day that someone said something, I read it somewhere and it was really, really predominant for me, but they said, don't miss the opportunities to regulate your nervous system. So how often, I don't know if this is you guys, but I know this is totally me way too often, where we're driving in the car, we've had a big day and there's a lot of stuff, and maybe something happened. Maybe you're at odds with your partner, or you're worried about one of your kids, or you're stressed about work, or something's on your brain, right? You're not at work. You're not with anybody. You're in your car alone. But instead of taking the breather as you drive to get your kids from school, instead of taking that moment, you're ruminating and allowing your body to stay in a state of stress on all the things, right? So we get to the end of the night and we're crashing because we don't take the moments that we could have. So like when you're in your car, so I'm really trying to think about this lately, and it's very hard because I'm a ruminator. And that's why I can write, but I am a ruminator. And so I've been trying to think about this lately though, like, nope, you're in your car right now. These thoughts are intrusive. They're stressful. They're not allowed in the car right now. You can have them when you get out of the car, or you have 10 minutes that you can't do this. Clear the field. That's what I say to my son. We have this thing, clear the field. We do that to his head right for football when he starts having like intrusive thoughts or worry, gets frustrated that the team's losing. But that's what we do. We clear the field. Okay. So like, hey, this is my time, and it's not about anything else other than it is imperative that I regulate my nervous system when I can, whether or not I've realized that it's been going. Because most of the time, most of the damage is done at a level that we don't realize because it's so normal to us and it's so normal in our environments. Okay, so this is so important. So take the breaks when you can, you guys. That's probably the singular most important thing. Yes, build in the massages or the baths or the meditation, the deep breathing. For Pete's sake, do breathing a few times a day. Like, I have a watch that makes me do it. Just do it. We don't take deep enough breaths. That oxygen supply, doing that, I mean, we really damage our body by not breathing well. So that's huge right off the bat. But be in control of your thoughts too. Take the breaks. And then, of course, watch the chemicals in your environment. Reduce all forms of stress. Okay. So this is the chemicals coming in. This is anything we're going to tell you in holistic health. This is working on your gut. This is eating food that has nutrition, not loaded in pesticides. I mean, do your best with these things. You're going to reduce the stress load on your body, which is going to reduce the stress load on your nervous system, which is going to reduce your ability or your frequency of dysregulation. And a lot of it at this point is very mental and emotional too. We are very triggered. So be mindful. Be mindful when you're jumping on your phone. Be mindful of how much technology. Be mindful of the kind of information you're taking in and the stuff that you're allowing in your head, because it is sucking the life out of you. Whether or not somebody's actually brought that to your realization yet, it's not worth it. When you're engaging in online conflict and troll speak and stuff like that, guess what? You are taking years off your life, not somebody else's. If they're engaging with you, then they're taking years off their own life. But it's really useless. Let's save the stress for the things that really matter. And let's learn to read our bodies and manage our stuff in a way that gives us life, gives us identity, and gives us personal power, and actually makes us better to the world and our environment. Thanks so much for listening today, you guys. I'm going to leave it at that. Please subscribe to Buddha Belly Life, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you for joining us for another empowering episode of Buddha Belly Life. For more information on gut health and mindset resources, visit buddhabellylife.com. And remember, heal yourself and then empower others to do the same.